My name is Doug Griffith. I'm the senior pastor here at Carriage Lane, and I'm excited to be able to share this evening with you as we are involved in this Lessons and Carols. It's always a wonderful time to focus on the real meaning of Christmas and the Christmas story. And as we engage with the different passages of Scripture, as well as these wonderful Christmas carols and hymns. So I hope that this will be a worshipful experience for you and a time where you can sit back and really focus on why we have so much joy this time of year because of the coming of Christ. So thank you for coming and hope that you will enjoy this time and it will be encouraging to you spiritually. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to cap off this Lord's Day with a wonderful opportunity to sing your praises and to meditate upon and to think upon the wonder and the glory of Jesus Christ coming to this earth and becoming a man in order to be our Savior, to die for our sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here tonight. We pray that all that is done and said will be used by you to touch people's hearts and to bring you glory. For we pray this in the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Genesis 3:8-19. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the word of the Lord.
Mystery in the dawning. Lesson number two is found in Genesis 22, 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sands that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Lesson number 3 is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Arise, shine, free light has come. Lesson number 4 is found in Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 9. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted lamb. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Lesson number 5 is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Lesson number 6 is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Bethlehem, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
During the next song, all the kids in the room will be invited to come down and sit for the reading of our next lesson. So please, children, come when you're invited.
Thank you. Lesson number 7 comes from Luke 2, verses 18 through 16. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." And when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And when they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, this is the word of the Lord.
Christ the Lord.
Lesson number 8 is found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening. The old adage says that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with but a single step. Yet far more important than any single step is the reasoning behind it or for it. See, great journeys are often preceded by great disruptions. For Ebenezer Scrooge, it was the disruption in seeing the fate of his former business partner. For George Bailey, it was a misplaced deposit. For Buddy the Elf, it came when he realized that he wasn't an elf at all. And for Wallace and Davis, it came in seeing that their beloved former general had fallen on hard times. Like those stories, the story from our passage this evening tells us of a great journey in response to a great disruption. And the story this evening is the story of the wise men. Now, when it comes to the wise men, there's a good bit of confusion, or to be a bit more diplomatic, artistic license taken in explaining or describing who these wise men were. Because despite what the Christmas carol may tell us, they probably weren't kings, and there probably were more than just three. And despite what our nativity scenes tell us, the wise men probably didn't make it to the manger, particularly considering that the star that they followed led them to a house rather than to the manger of Joseph and Mary. But here's what we do know, is that these were men of great influence and power, likely trusted counselors and advisors to the kings and rulers of Persia. See, these were men of great intelligence and learning, possessing the opulent wealth and power of the social, cultural, political elites of their day. Basically, these men were kind of a big deal. Yet God disrupts and upends their lives to the point that they willingly leave the comforts of Persia and crossing field and fountain, moor and mountain, all so they can worship at the feet of a child, at the feet of Jesus. Which brings us to an important question this evening. What is the spark that caused them to embark upon such a long and perilous journey? Well, take a look down with me to verse 2, and we discover that this spark, this disruption was a star. Or more specifically, his star. Now remember, these men are astronomers. These were men that We're often looking to the stars for guidance, for answers, for direction to the various concerns and questions of life. Yet one night as they searched the stars for life's great answers, there arose a new star, a star unlike any that they had ever seen before, a star whose guidance would actually be worth following, a star that would literally beckon and welcome them to follow it. And so they did. And to be sure, there's a good bit of mystery surrounding the nature of this star. But one thing is certain, that this was no ordinary star. Because it did not just guide them in the right direction, but literally the text tells us that this star went before them, guiding them from the palaces of Persia to the lowly home of a carpenter. Yet upon their arrival to this lowly house of a carpenter, take a look down with me to verse 10. That when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Now, I love this because we've all gone on a vacation that didn't quite live up to our expectations. Yet here, these guys are rejoicing exceedingly with great joy. You see, there's not even a hint of buyer's remorse. There's no regret for the journey that they had just undertaken. There's no letdown. But we see only the joy of their worship of the Messiah. Well, why? Well, because these men had spent their lives probing the stars for answers. Yet here in the simple home of a carpenter, they finally found the answer, the Savior that they had always been looking for. And the wonder of grace is that while these wise men were still looking to the stars to save them, the God of creation was using that which he had created to direct these wise men to the real Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took on flesh and dwelt among us, disrupting the hopelessness of our realities by being this world's one and only hope. You see, that's the joyous disruption of the gospel, that despite the hopelessness of our sin, we have hope in our Savior. And can I just tell you that this same Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, wants to disrupt your life as well. He wants to show you just how desperately you need him. And more than that, in his grace and mercy, he is inviting you and he's inviting me to join with him on an incredible journey, not just to him, but with him. A journey far longer than 1,000 miles. A journey that will take us into the joys of eternity, where we, with unveiled faces, will bask in the glorious presence of our holy God, knowing and experiencing the fullness of life everlasting in the joyous presence of our loving Heavenly Father, where there will be no more sin, no more tears, where we will experience no more the broken realities of life in this fallen world, a world that fell into brokenness because of our sin and our rebellion, sins and rebellion that demand the righteous judgment and wrath of God. Yet by his birth, by his perfect life, his death, his resurrection and ascension, Jesus, our Savior, has accomplished our redemption. That because of Christ, we who are in him have now been declared not guilty in the sight of God. But in the wonder of the gospel, not only are we declared not guilty, we are declared righteous in our Heavenly Father's sight. So my question for you this evening is, where is the journey of your life taking you? Is it merely taking you up the various rungs of the corporate or social ladder? Is the journey of your life just having you jump up aboard the treadmills of success, wealth, happiness, or affluence? For this is a journey that will surely leave you exhausted And to your credit, you will have run many a mile. Yet upon reaching your destination, you will discover that the truth of the matter is that you haven't gone anywhere at all, that you haven't made any forward progress, and that despite your hard work, despite your sweat, toil, and tears, you are right back to where you began, as those things can't possibly withstand the weight of eternity. See, Jesus is inviting us, he's inviting you, and he's inviting me on such a greater journey here this evening. And to be sure, it won't be easy. In fact, the scriptures actually say that walking with Jesus will be quite difficult, as he calls us to be living sacrifices, to take up our cross and follow after him. Yet, if Jesus goes before our every step, then as the psalmist says, then surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days and all of the steps of our lives, as by God's grace and mercy and strength, we journey our way with Jesus into the joys of eternity. If you'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you that you love us enough to disrupt us in our sin and show us the wonders of your grace. We pray all this now in your son's name. Amen.
Bring Before I read the last lesson for the evening, I just want to say a brief word of thanks. This evening doesn't come off without many, many hands. First, I want to say thank you to Becky and to Connie for being my right hand and my left. Thank you for being my assistant, for being the pianist, and for helping to lead these children as they sing. We thank you to Becky and Connie. Thank you to these choir members back here. They have put in a number of hours to prepare for this, let alone the worship team and all of these instrumentalists. I'm thankful for all of them helping us this evening. Thankful for our guest artist this evening, Callum, who will sing here in a few minutes. And I'm thankful for my brothers on the staff, Pastor Doug, Tim, and Sam, and Adam. Thank you, brothers, for helping to read, as well as our elders who helped read this evening. Thank you. I also want to say, I want to thank you for coming this evening and participating in worshiping with us. And I want to thank you to Jesus. Thank you to Jesus, who is our Savior and our Redeemer, and He is all worthy of our praise. Lesson number 9 is found in John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? And is a new creation coming? And is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? And is it good that we remind ourselves of this? David's root and the lamb who died to ransom the slain. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? David's root and the lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, and every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? He is. And is he worthy? Is he worthy? Yeah.
pray. O Lord Almighty, indeed we worship you and we praise you. We say hallelujah, hallelujah. Indeed, you are worthy of all of our worship, for you are the great creator of the universe, and you're the great redeemer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you praise tonight. And we thank you for the precious gifts that you give to us, the gift of Jesus, our Savior, and the gift of faith that we might receive him, and the gift of hope that we would look to the resurrection to come and that we would also be filled with your love. Lord, we thank you for your love that you put within our hearts. We ask as we move through this Christmas season that you would help us to see the true meaning of Christmas, the true glory of Christmas. Lord, that you would give us eyes to see your glory and your holiness and the gift of Christ. And that we would look past all the commercialization and all the things of this world, and that we would be truly transformed as we consider the gift of all gifts. Help us, O Lord, to be ambassadors of your peace, pointing others to Christ as light and salt in this world. Now, O Lord, we pray that you would watch over and bless everyone tonight as we leave, that you would protect us, that you go before us, and that you would fill us with your joy. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.